Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Joey Chandler. In 2022, Joey Chandler recovered from burnout by narrowing his core values to three, which are courage, connection, and curiosity. We'll get a bit more into that story. But after that, he realized that there was a big difference between who we are and how we do things. And he coined the idea of a core process, which is going to be pretty much what we talk about today, identifying that core process, which is really just how you do things and how you choose to do things that are best suited for you, you know, and then we'll tie it into if you're working with clients, or you're going to enroll people, like everything really falls back to your values and your core process. So I'm really excited to dive into this and see how Joey has been able to leverage this to help himself and all of his clients as well. How you doing today, Joey?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, man. Super pumped about this. Before we get into, you know, the nitty gritty, the strategies and everything, I want to hear a little bit about your story. What made you decide to become an entrepreneur? I always think it's very fascinating, you know, because like it's not just the beaten path that we were grown up being told we should do to become a doctor, go to college or whatever. What made you decide to be an entrepreneur? And then how did you get into coaching people and training people on core values, core process?
Yeah, I was in, if I really think about it, I was in college and a buddy of mine had this idea for like these coupon discount cards that he was selling. And I was like, oh, that would be a great idea. So I spent a summer trying to grow this little business where we go around and ask people, ask businesses for coupons, and we put it all together. And it was an utter failure, but I tried it. I had business cards and I had a light, you know, I did all the stuff at 18, and this was quite a few years ago. And so if I look back, I have tried and done different businesses quite a bit. And where I got started was I got let go actually from a job, and my son was 6 months old, and it turns out I had a really good eye for photography. And I put a post out and I said, hey, does anybody need family photography? And I spent the next 10 years being a family photographer.
Oh, wow.
And I did different businesses. And I've always been interested in human growth, human development. I was the guy, when I did have corporate jobs, I was always figuring out how we could bring training in. Like the job that I got let go from, it was at a sporting goods store. I was a manager at the time. But when I first started, I was working in the shoe department, and I arranged to have all the you know, the Asics and the Nikes and the, you know, all the different running shoes, they're all their reps that come in and train our staff on how to best sell those shoes. And I just always did that. I don't know why I did it, but I always did it. So the idea of coaching and helping people is just, it's just been part of who I am for a long time.
That's cool. So with this transition period, you know, you love the coaching, working in corporate, wanting to bring training and stuff into it, been in and out of different businesses throughout your career. What made you kind of like become the guy for core values and core process? I always think that's really fascinating. Did you just have a light bulb conversation with someone? Was it an epiphany? What happened?
Yeah. So there are three major moments in this. As part of my photography business, I started doing tribute videos for people. And these were videos where if you know, you're doing a video for your mom's birthday, we get 30 or 40 people all saying what they love and appreciate about her. And we put those videos together and we would show it at a birthday party. I did several hundred of those videos in the 2010s, in the early 2010s. And those videos, what they showed me was that we all have something at our core. Like it took me a little while, but I started to see that we all have there was always a theme in the video. And I know that I can do a video for anybody and there would be a theme in that video. And to me, that says that we have something at our core and it impacts how we act and interact with people. So that gave me the foundation. And then I started saying, how can I bring this thing from the background of our lives to the foreground? And I worked on that, but I made it too complicated. And in 2022, I was going through a divorce. My business was struggling. I was living alone. It was post-COVID, all those sorts of things. And I burnt out. I woke up one day in January, said, I got nothing left. I just can't be anything but me. I'm just too tired. And a few days after that, I said, okay, if I can only be me, then who am I and how can I be more of that? Now I had some idea from the videos and all the work that I had done, but it was too much. And fortunately, a friend of mine told me the story about the Navy SEALs who put everything in sets of three. And just because apparently when you're in a war zone, it's easier to remember three things than anything else. And I said, I literally was not, it was, there was nothing transformational about it. I just said, screw it. That sounds easier. I'll do three core values. And I landed on courage, connection, and curiosity. And from that day, I basically been waking up and asking different versions of how can I bring courage, connection, and curiosity to my day? And I took lots of baby steps, and I eventually recovered from burnout. And that taught me that by reducing your core values down to something you can actually use and remember of easily, they give you just far more power. And that also taught me that pretending to be something that you're not, or anytime you're not being who you are, is just exhausting. And given the stresses of the world, that's why I think so many people are exhausted, because we're trying to be who we think we need to be or who we should be. So I was like all in on core values. So I knew we had something at our core. I had these three core values. I was like, this is amazing. And I went at it for the next year, and it was just something was missing. And somewhere along the line, I started to see that there's a difference between who we are and how we operate. So we have our core values. And then I started playing with it, and I came up with the idea of this core process. And what I find is that I can always help people find their three core values, as well as sit down and help them find their five steps of their core process. And by doing that, that empowers people to not only have a foundation to be confident in who they are, but to have the courage to keep moving forward and taking action. And so that's the story of how I came to be where I'm at today.
That's cool, dude. I really like it. I'm curious, what made you decide on courage, connection, and curiosity? Why did you choose those three?
Yeah, so the way that my process works is that I help identify who you are at your core. And from the videos and the work that I've done, is I find that there's five main things. It's love, joy, happiness, excitement, and freedom. That's like who we are. And then the core values are, how do you support that? Like, how do you create more? For me, like, I'm love at my core. So how do I create more love or more or help experience and to share it? And I just playing with the words, I'm like, the three things came to mind. Courage, like, love, I just look back at all the times I asked someone out on a date and it took courage to say that. I love that moment, right? And then a connection and connecting with the other person. And the part that I got divorced, and part that I missed actually was really connecting with myself. Like, that was looking back, I saw that was a wreck. And then curiosity, I just find that when you're coming from a place of like, I want to get to know you, I want to understand you, even if I've known you forever, that creates a greater sense of love. And so that's, I don't know if everybody has a different definition of love, but those are the three things that came for me.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And yeah, I mean, I feel like the curiosity also, it kind of supports the courage and the connection, because through curiosity, if you're genuine and like genuinely interested in somebody, that's going to form a deeper connection between both of you, because they feel heard, you know. And then also it could be a little bit of courage too, just to be able to like ask things and kind of get curious.
Oh, it's a big thing. Like, to have courage to say, hey, what do you want? And I think this is huge. This is a side note. We're not talking relationships, but I think it's massively important. It even applies to business. There's more opportunity today to create a relationship in any way, which way, shape, or form you want. If you're like, I want to have a relationship with four different people, we're going to live in five different states and meet every third month in Vegas, you could find people that want to do that. But what it takes is the curiosity to yourself to say, hey, what do I really want? You got to really connect with yourself and then have the courage to put it out there. Yeah. And so I think nowadays there's so much opportunity to create relationships, but you really got to get clear on who you are and to be willing to share what that is and work with people.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It happened with me, and it took a coach telling me this, but now when I help people who are starting their business or they're trying to just like get out there, you know, with clients and stuff, my whole little mantra I've just developed over the years is connect, inspire, invite. So you connect with the people that you want to work with, and then you inspire them with like what you do, and then you invite them. And a lot of people connect and inspire, but they never invite because it's scary. Yep. They never invite them to sit down deeper on another call, like a strategy session, or they never invite them to sign up into their coaching program and be like, hey, let's dive deeper, you know? And that's why they won't, you know, grow their business or make money. And that takes a lot of courage to do in the beginning. And then eventually it kind of becomes more of a I guess, more of a duty, it feels like. Like when you, like you, for example, you're very clear on who you help, what you help them do and stuff. So it's more of like a mission for you of getting out there, and it becomes fun to invite people because you're like, I know that how beneficial this is and I know that I can help you, you know, and then it's about getting out there and stimulating the interest and then inviting people for real.
Yep.
So this, well, I guess core values is really big. I know on your website you have like a quiz or something that helps people kind of get their core values, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I found is that our core values, those three core values, are far closer to the surface than we realize. And this was all taught from the videos, because like none of the people in the video were like these. I mean, some were very enlightened people, but there are a lot of just like everyday grandmas and, you know, moms and dads and stuff. And so I was like, wow, this thing is clearly right in our lives. And so we just have to do a little bit of scratching the surface. And the other thing in the part that I want to point out, core values, that if your core values are core to who you are, then they have been with you for a very long time. And so they'd be more in the language of a young person than they would be in, you know, somebody our age. And so I always encourage people to really get words that are meaningful, and imagine that you could have used it even when you were a young person. Mm. And that's why we start with love or joy or happiness, because those are things that kids could experience. And you would have experienced that even if you didn't know the exact words, and then how the words are. That's why I'm not a huge fan of authenticity and integrity as a core value, because it seems more intellectual than heartfelt and something that you would have said when I don't remember any kids ever saying, I want to have more integrity in my life.
Right.
You know,
makes total sense. Yeah.
And so I just want to get to those things that are real and true, not what you think you should have or ought to have or should have, but what's really true to you. Cause then you can build on that. Then you can figure out what works for you.
Mm. Yeah. And even looking at, well, yours, it's kind of like, I want, you know, like that's kind of what you can think about. And it's something that you've always been kind of drawn to. That's kind of what I notice anyway. Like I want to be more courageous. Like I want to talk to girls when I like them, you know, and that takes courage. Or I want more connection. I want more curiosity, I guess. Yeah. I mean, finding your core values, we kind of talked about this before you'd hit record. It's really a buzz term that you hear all the time now. It's in corporate settings, it's in personal development books and trainings and stuff, and like for good reason. I mean, it's really important. It's a big part of who you are and what you do. But your thing is like really the core process, because I mentioned the quiz. I'll link it down in the description. People can go take your quiz and that'll help them get clear on kind of the values. So we'll make sure we link that down. But going deeper is the core process. What is the core process? How is it different from the core values? And then what's, you said there was a 5-step process or something to kind of identify that core process.
Yeah. Yeah. So just the simplest term is that, Matt, your core values are who you are. You know, that's who you are. Your core process is how you do things, is the basic point. And you can identify your core process. If you're my coach, it's real simple. When you first start working with a client, what's the first thing you do? And people will have some answer. You know, I will connect with them. I will get to know them. I will understand something. Myself, I ask, what does success mean to them? And like, what, you know, what is, there's always something they start with. And then what's the next step? And then what's the next step? And you go around, and somewhere along the line, you'll gather ideas, you'll create a plan, you'll take action, you'll grow. There's some various steps of that. But the idea is that it all rotates back. Like after you take action or after you grow, it tells you more about the very first step. And so it's a flywheel, it's a circle. And so instead of saying, okay, I'm going to coach you by going A, B, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're going to get to some point, I say, hey, we're going to get to some point, but the way we're going to do that is go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You go around and around. And what I found is that, especially nowadays when people are so overwhelmed, if you can give people a understandable flywheel, like, hey, I'm just going to help you understand these 5 things, and then I'm going to coach you on this. And through that, we're going to move to this bigger goal. That helps people get grounded and say, hey, I can do this, as opposed to saying, hey, I've got all these great things. I'm going to take you from right here to like the end of the world, and we're going to do all this stuff. And people are like, I'm too exhausted. I'm too overwhelmed. I'm too burnt out to even think about it. I know I could do it, but I can't. I just, you know, and then they stop.
Right. So the flywheel, the five pieces, right? It's kind of, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but it's like, it's a structure is what it is. And you take each person through that, but the way that they go through the process is different for each individual person. Right. And that's your flywheel concept.
Yeah. Everybody has their own. Like, I'll just ask you, when you first work with somebody, what's the first thing you do?
Okay. When you say when I first work with someone, meaning that they've signed up with me and then it's like our first coaching call.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I always sit down and we've already like gotten to know each other and everything on our previous calls really. So I just give them a rundown of like how the calls work. And I already know really what they want to achieve. So it's really, by the time we get on the first coaching call, it's time just to get to work and we just start building.
So for you, you get to know the person, you know, at some point you get to know them, right?
Yeah. If it's like an enrollment call, that's where we're, right. Or before that, you know, maybe it's a couple calls, but we're building the relationship and stuff.
Right. So the whole idea is that like, you get to know them, you figure out what they want, you create a plan, you get to work, and then I'm sure that you have some growth or celebration somewhere in there.
Oh yeah.
Right. Of course. Like that's, and so that's kind of your process. And the fun part about it, when you identify your process and work it out, and sorry to spring that on you. I know that was quick.
Oh no, it's okay. Bring it on.
you'll find that process works not only in your coaching, but it works everywhere in your life because it's who you are. It's how you operate. And so instead of trying to think of a process that you're like, oh, this is what I do for dating and this is what I do for business and this is what I do for family, you're like, no, I have my core values. I have this particular process that I use and whatever yours is. And then I apply it to different areas of my life.
But the process stays the same, whether it's dating or business or whatever.
Exactly. Now, you know, you got to change a little, you know, obviously getting to know someone on a date is going to be a little bit different than getting to know them in a business situation, but it's not all that much different. I mean, you're still getting to know them. And here's the really important part. We choose our process because that's what works for us. We know that works. We like, you know, that if you get to know the person, you get their goals, you come up with the plan, you help them take action, you help them grow. Like, you know, that works. And so why not apply that to different areas?
Mm. Yeah, that's really interesting. So the flywheel, I'm just going to pull it up real quick. What are the five steps so the listener can kind of get an idea of this and then we can.
So everybody's flywheel is different. That's the main point. Mine, what I do, like when I work with someone, I always ask them, what does success mean to them? Like that's the first thing. Then I talk about their core values. Then we look at their core process. Then we look at the systems they need to put in place to make that happen. And then we help them grow by celebrating and learning from their efforts. And here's the funny part. You know, I told you, I sold shoes. I was really good at selling running shoes. This was in the Bay Area in the, 2010, you know, early or 2008, something like that. Or no, before. But anyway, I was really good at selling running shoes. And in retrospect, what made me good at it is because everybody that walked into my department, I almost immediately said, hey, what are you training for? I treated them like an athlete. Now, this was the Bay Area, you know, 2007, 8, 10, you know, and that everybody was training for something. Like they were, you know, they were doing triathlons, they were running. Like
still happening.
Yeah, everybody's training for something. So it wasn't too far of a outside, you know, it wasn't too far out of the realm of a conversation. Right. But people did not relate to themselves as an athlete. I'm training for a marathon, but I'm not really a marathon runner. And what I would do is I say, hey, what does success mean to you? What are you training for? What is that? So I created that space. And by doing that, then I could say what's really important to them, essentially kind of get to their core values. And then we would say, what do you need? We would sell shoes first. And then I got really good at selling the footbeds and the socks and the heart rate monitors and the, you know, the supplements. Like people would come in and they would rarely just buy shoes with me. They would buy all this other stuff.
Right.
And what in retrospect, what was happening is that I was saying, hey, what does success mean to you? You know, what's important to you? What systems do you need to support you? I was doing all of those steps way before I even knew them back when I was selling shoes.
Yeah. Oh no, it makes sense. That totally makes sense. There's like, you know, the person comes in, they're trying to run a marathon, but they're not a marathon athlete, like you said, and they're first thing, I need shoes. You're like, well, let's go get you some shoes. And then after that, they're like, well, I'm going to need to stay hydrated. I'm going to need some sustenance. So, oh, we got these, you know, gel packs or something like that. So that totally makes sense why it would just, yeah, it's that setup question that you had in the beginning of just getting really clear of like, what do you want? And I think, you know what, this is funny because I talk to a lot of people that want to start and grow their business, and they get, whether it's building like a new product, getting it out there, or they're just starting to like coach people or something, people make things so complicated. And it's like, you just have to talk to people about what do they really want and have a genuine intention of like helping them get there. And if you're not the right person, refer them to someone else or something else that's going to help them. Like, just help the person. But sometimes you're the perfect person to help them and it just feels right. And it's like, okay, well, we can talk about that, you know? And it's just having more conversations like that of genuinely wanting to help people. But then you have to obviously like say, this is how much coaching with me is, you know, and that's the thing.
Well, and that's a great point. It helps to have a system, like to have a structure in place, because when you start talking to somebody, you know, when you start talking to that really pretty girl, or you talk to that boss, or that you're going for that job or whatever, like your brain starts to go a little bit haywire. And so having a system is really helpful. And the nice thing about your core process, and this is where I'm really sharing with people who are especially getting started, is that you can actually use it as your sales conversation. So for me, when I have the sale, when we're talking, you know, before they've signed up, I basically walk them through the whole thing. I say, hey, here are the five steps. And then I say, let's first off, I want to know, what does success mean to you in whatever area we're talking about? We talk about that. And I say, do you know your core values? How does that relate? And we talk a little bit about that. And then I actually walk them through the process so that they have their own process. They've walked out of the sales conversation knowing their core values with a sense of their core process. And then we say, what sort of systems do you need in place? And we start to outline that. And then what can we celebrate you? What have you already done in this to grow? And then say, hey, if you know, do you find this helpful? Yes or no? If yes, do you want to talk about working with me more? If no, you know, thank you. But you can use your core process in your sales conversation. You don't have to rethink, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you can use the whole thing. And it takes a little practice. I'm not saying it's like the first time, but because you use it in all these different places, it just makes that conversation so much more easy and natural.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny because as we're talking about process and you mentioned like dating a couple times, I used to suck at online dating. I'm in a relationship now. We've been together for 5 years, but I thought it was like the dumbest thing, you know, and I just kind of did it just because it was another way to meet people, I guess. But I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to meet anyone meaningful. My girlfriend and I met, it was 5 years ago, and we've been inseparable ever since, and we're a great fit. But I remember how I was terrible at it, and then I finally got better at making like my profile, and I started getting more conversations and hits, and then was inviting people. And I literally had a process with dating where the first date, we would go somewhere casual, like, you know, a local brewery or something like that, or coffee or something, where it's like an easy out for either one of us. And it's just like a short little hangout. If it feels good, we can always hang out longer. But the second date, if it was always great and it was like, this is fun, let's go on another date, I would always, like, without a doubt, go to Scandia and I would do mini golf. And I don't know if you remember Scandia, but you used to live around here. So it's just like a family center and they have like go-karts or arcade or mini golf. And I would always do the mini golf. I feel like they knew me at that point. They're like, this guy again, this freaking guy. It was so funny.
But there's a lot of stories of people going like, oh yeah, this is his go-to place. I have a friend of mine runs a wine and art bar here in Reno. Like, oh, okay. You can come in and you get wine and they actually teach you how to draw and paint. And it's huge for couples and stuff. And oh, I was asking her, and she's like, oh yeah, there's like a handful of guys that like, we're like their second or third date. They always bring.
It's perfect. These guys are genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was mini golf for me. Cause it was just fun and it's like competitive, you know, but it's just like unexpected too. And it was just fun for me. And I don't remember like where it first happened, but yeah, I did it every time. And then, you know, we ended up started being good at online dating from there, we'll say. And then I met my girlfriend, Lexi, sure enough, on the second date, took her to Scandia. And then we've been inseparable ever since, but it was a process and it just worked. And I was like, how do I bring that to, you know, my business? And I was able to bring it to my business. That's kind of where I created that little mantra of like connect, inspire, invite, because I would connect with them, you know, and it just went from there. And then that's what made sense to me. So that's kind of my process. But I always tell people on this podcast that, you know, you can invest in a coach and sometimes it just feels off if you're doing the thing that they've told you to do. And I think you should do what your coach tells you to do. But you should also leave wiggle room for you and what intuitively feels right to you. Because there's been plenty of times where it's like an uphill battle and I'm doing exactly what they tell me to do. And inside my mind, I'm like, I see the value in this and I have a different way of thinking about this. And then I go do that and then it ends up working. And I'm like, see.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I'm a stubborn guy. Like I just am. And I have been uncoachable because of that. So if for people that are really coachable, you know, hats off to you. But if you're not coachable, and I actually think a lot of people are much more not coachable than they are coachable, because if they were coachable, there'd be a lot more success. There'd people be way more successful. There's a reason why there's only a handful of top athletes, because those people are really coachable and other people aren't. But so because I am not coachable, because I hate people telling me what to do, I developed this coaching process, this core values in the core process. And now when I work with people, I only coach them in their process. So like once we identify their five steps, we go through it. And every day I'm like, you know, it's really saying, okay, what's your process? What's your step? And we coach them through that. And the interesting part about it is that they discover systems and solutions. And I love what you said, that you said, I take them to miniature golf because it worked for me. Nobody could have told you, like, if anybody said, you know, do this on the second day, do this on the second day, like, it may or may not have worked. But you're like, no, this worked for me. For some reason, you knew that that worked for you. It had some competition. It was a little bit different. Like this, you must be a little bit of a competitive guy. Like, that must
very
be
much
part of there must be something that's important to you. You tapped into that and you trusted yourself. And I think one of the things that I love about this idea of core values and core process is that it invites people and challenges people to trust themselves, right, to not rely on other people so much, but to really trust themselves and say, hey, what does my process say to do here? And do I have the courage to actually do it?
Yeah. Well, I teach my coaching clients that. I mean, I give them strategies and systems that have worked for me, but I fully understand that I'm not the almighty, you know, I'm just a dude who's been able to figure this out for myself and I'm here to help you. But I always tell them, like, this is a process that does work. I mean, I've seen it work for plenty of people, but there was a client who was just really struggling and they were trying too hard to abide by my process. And this is like a week or two ago. And I was like, well, what makes sense to you? And they're like, well, I used to be, you know, in sales and stuff. And this just, I would just talk to people, find what they want or find what they need and then give them what they want, or find what they want and they give them what they need. And that just made sense to them. So I was like, put that on your computer, like find what they want, give them what they need, and you'll know what it means. And yeah, now he's out there working on it right now, but I'm sure it's working out better for him. Right. We have a meeting this week, but I was just like, just make it make sense for you. Cause I totally understand the power of intuition and listening to what is right for you. And yeah, like I do love competition. I do CrossFit and half the fun of it for me is seeing my friends on the leaderboard and putting my score in and trying to beat them. Like that's just what we do, but it's friendly competition. It's like, who's going to lift a heavier weight or who's going to get a better score or faster time. Cause that's just what we like to do. So yeah, but I always tell people, I think it's so big for people who listen to this podcast to understand that if you are coaching people, like don't be so strict with them. It's good to give them a process and a flow. Like you have a process, but have wiggle room. Give them like, let them rely on their intuition with certain things. And that comes too from having good coaching where it is intuitive coaching, where you can ask people better questions that makes them come to their own realizations. Whole topic for a different day though. But yeah, it's huge.
And the part I just want to say is that takes practice.
For sure.
You are not naturally born intuitive. You are not naturally born trusting yourself, or you may be naturally born. We're not raised that way. We're not, you know, in school, nobody's asking you, you know, hey, what are your core values? What can you teach us about life as a teenager? We're not taught that. We're taught, hey, here's a way to do it. You should learn it this way. So we really kind of crush that intuition, that sense of like, what is it? How do I see the world? So once we do clarify our core values and once we do clarify your process, it just takes practice. And there's always a moment when I work with people where they say, hey, you know, you're telling me this and I get it. Like, I believe in my process, but I'm also bumping up against, you know, I'm trying to apply all this other stuff. And I've started, you know, this kind of a mantra is like, are you willing to let go of what you know to be who you are? And so I give people homework for a week or two, just let go of everything you know, and just constantly refer back to your core process and see what that teaches you. And what always comes back, they come back just much more focused on how they should, not how they should, they become much more focused on who they are and what they want to create. And they're much more bolder in their ownership of that. And it's really scary because the marketing world, right, is set up for, you know, this is, you know, here are the steps for marketing and this is work. But I think going forward, we want to see people who are bold, who are saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, as opposed to saying, this is the perfect way to market.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. And it's like, I've learned a process that works for me from my mentors because it just made sense to me. But I've also invested in a lot of people and it just didn't make sense to me or it didn't feel right to me, like cold DMing 100 people a day. I don't know how that makes sense to anybody, but some people it works, I guess. But yeah. I'm like, I despise doing that. And yeah, you just got to find kind of your own way. But there's certain things that are important. Like you have to, you know, connect, inspire, invite. That's a process, but it's very ambiguous. You know, it's very vague. Like connect, you can connect by speaking on a stage if your thing is stages. Like that's how you like to connect with people. And then you inspire them from your content and then you invite them to a call. Like that's literally a process they taught me in my first coaching program. But it can be through making like TikToks. Literally, I have a client, she crushes it on TikTok. Two clients who are just crushing on TikTok. I love YouTube. And that's what I recommend. But people find my video, they get inspired by my content, and I'm always inviting them to pick up a lead magnet or join my email list or something like that, which then gets them into my world. And it's like, it's the same thing, but finding their way of doing that. Like I always recommend YouTube because it's worked for me and I like it and I know how to do it a lot better than TikTok per se. But yeah, if I have a client who's like, well, TikTok's crushing it for me, I'm like, then go on TikTok. If that's where your people are at and you're getting attention, right. As long as you're like getting the opt-ins, you know, there's certain things that are important when it comes to marketing and stuff. But yeah, I love this. I wish that, you know, the core idea here is that more people would just embody the fact to, or just, I really, really put an emphasis on trusting themselves. I think that's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And practice. I cannot rest. Once you clarify who you are, like, it took me a while to say, what does courage, connection, and curiosity mean to me? And then practice using it and to share it in conversations. It took me a while to understand these five steps. And as you go through your steps, expect for them to get refined. When I first started doing this, my first thing was, instead of success, it was like connect or something. It was something like that. But as I started doing this and as I started realizing what I was really standing for, is like I wanted to be successful. I want my people to be successful. It was more, I was able to stand up and say, no, this is what I want. And despite the fact that I've had all these failures in business, I'm like, no, I want to be successful. And so I couldn't have said that at the very when I first started doing this. But after doing it a while and working on my process, I'm like, no. So now I what I call it is the truly successful system. Because for me, being truly successful is about being able to make a difference for yourself and others and still be able to be who you are. And that's the ultimate goal of the programs. I want people to really figure out who they are, how they can make a difference, and then build upon that in a way that works for them and the people they serve.
Love that. Awesome. Joey, you're a really cool guy. It's been great getting to know you. We're going to come in here for a landing. Where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. This has been great. I'm at joeychandler.net and then at joeychandler70 across all social media.
Okay, cool. We'll put a link down there. And if you go to Joey's website, by the way, you can get access to that core values little quiz. Take you less than 5 minutes. You can find those three core values for yourself and then go from there. So for the listener, I know we talked about a lot of different things, but it comes back down to really understanding who you are and then trusting in that. I think that simply put, that's really the crux of the conversation. If you need more assistance with that, definitely check out Joey and his work. Take the quiz, get into his world, reach out to him, book a call with him, and he will help you get through it. Obviously, just a very kind individual, and I appreciate that. But yeah, that's probably been like the biggest thing that I've done in my career thus far, is just learning how to trust myself, to slow down, to really listen to myself of what I feel is right for me at this moment, instead of just looking at what everybody else should be or is doing or is saying that I quote unquote should be doing. It's like, what feels right to me? And then trying that. And it's led to so many great things in my life and my business. So I hope you got inspiration from this episode. And remember that implementation is your only superpower. It's fun to talk about the stuff and learn and everything. Hopefully you got your 35-ish minutes of content for the day. Now get out there and start creating. Take what you learned here. Get out there, make something happen, please. And we will see you in the next one.